The drive to beef up counter-terror laws continues, with the Abbott government now wanting more power to patrol the World Wide Web. A bill now before Parliament is aimed at forcing internet service providers to store details of Australians' online activity for 2 years. In the eyes of the government, it's simply keeping pace with fast-moving technology, but others don't see it that way, saying it will cost telcos millions and citizens their privacy. One man leading the charge against the change is Greens Senator Scott Ludham. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Scott Ludham, what's wrong with this bill?
Well, where to begin? I think the government should have listened to the evidence that the industry and civil society groups have been putting into it for months and not presented the bill at all. They should at least have listened to the Labor Party and presented an exposure draft so it can be assessed. But I think your intro that it's about counterterrorism was really given away during the minister's press conference yesterday, when it was admitted that it's actually about file sharing. It's about a whole heap of other agendas. Yeah. So I don't understand how it's going to make anybody safer to be trawling and storing and forcing the industry to archive 2 years' worth of electronic data for every man, woman and child in the country. I don't think that case has been made at all.
Well, if that case hasn't been made, why would you then tap phones at all? Why would law enforcement agencies be allowed to do that? This is a new age of telecommunications. Things have changed. The law must change with it.
Yeah, the law must change with it, absolutely. And what we've seen is technology has raced ahead of privacy protections. When we allow police agencies or spooks or anti-corruption agencies to tap people's phones or read their emails, it's done through a process of judicial oversight. They have to get a warrant. It has to be targeted and discriminate, and they have to be after fairly serious crimes. That's the balance that's been struck in most democracies, not just Australia. With warrantless metadata snooping, the situation's got completely out of hand. As you're probably aware, there were more than 500,000 of these requests last year and not a single warrant needing to be issued. And the government's proposing to compound that problem by forcing the telcos to store these huge new warehouses full of material.
Would you be in favour if there was more oversight, in your view, if warrants were required?
If warrants were required, I think you'd need to be a bit selective about what you applied warrants to. I think that would be a really big help. But there's also a principle that says data can't be abused or stolen or misused if it doesn't exist in the first place. This government, to its credit, earlier this year, updated the Australian privacy principles. And one of them says don't store things that you don't need, because that opens it up to abuse. And so this data retention proposal runs directly counter to that.
What if you were pursuing a child pornography case and you needed to get some information that had been used in the past and it was gone?
There's a whole range of entirely legitimate reasons why agencies use metadata and have used it for years and years. The problem is that, who else is getting damaged in the process, and what's the collateral damage in allowing these powers effectively without oversight? Bringing in a warranted regime would make a huge difference. To the government's credit, they've also narrowed the range of agencies that can get a hold of this material. But do we really accept that every man, woman and child in this country should be treated as a suspect just in case they might turn out to be involved in that?
Are they being treated as suspect just because people are keeping information on file for 2 years that could be accessed by police if they wanted to?
Effectively, yes. And that's the reason why, or one of the reasons why, the European Court of Justice threw out a mandatory data regime.
For Germany?
For all of Europe. Mm-hmm. For all of Europe. So the Brits were swimming against the tide and rammed a proposal through Westminster. The rest of Europe had a data retention regime for a couple of years, found that it had no impact on the clearance rates of crime, had no impact on the ability of their intelligence agencies to keep their people safe, and it was then dismantled by the courts.
The government would argue against that, saying that in one major child abuse case in Europe, the UK identified 240 suspects, convicted 121. Germany identified 377 suspects, convicted none, because of differences in the data retention regimes.
I would want to have a very close look at that, because this court judgment's actually quite recent. So I would want to have a very close look at whether that case existed while Germany even had its data retention regime in place. I think we've got to be very, very careful. And it's interesting that the government is calling this its third tranche of national security laws, but it's almost completely failed to mention national security. It's obviously about a much bigger agenda.
It's obviously also about what it sees as the state-based snooping inside systems now as well. It's also looking at China. So there's a larger agenda across the board here.
Well, there is. And the Chinese government, like most governments around the world, is engaged in economic espionage and all sorts of other strange behaviours online, as is presumably Australia. But again, this isn't really targeted at that. It's completely indiscriminate and untargeted In that, and it involves everybody who's carrying a mobile phone or who has an email account.
Can I ask you something on another issue? Why are the Greens missing a rare chance to reboot the indexation of fuel excise?
Rebooting, if you like, fuel excise or re-indexing it has been Greens policy since 2001 when it was suspended by John Howard. Because if you want to put a price signal into the market, which is the way carbon pricing was intended to work, you have to give people an alternative. The first thing this government did when it was elected was scrap every dollar of Commonwealth funding for public transport. So if you're going to make it more expensive for people to drive, you need to be ploughing those funds into something that gives people an alternative.
Government's changed. The opportunity for you to change this law might never come again.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
Well, this opportunity for fuel indexation, if the Labor Party goes against this now, you see them bringing this forward sometime in the future? You see this government bring it forward sometime in the future?
Oh, that's hypothetical. I think it's entirely likely that if the Labor Party was back into office with Greens and balance of power, you would see a surge in investment in public transport, as was starting to happen under the last government, in which case the case for reindexing fuel excise becomes a lot
And you think the Labor Party would do it if they rule it out at the next election?
Look, politics change, and I'm not here to put policy positions for the Labor Party. As far as the Greens are concerned, you can't smash people with high fuel prices unless you're giving them an alternative. That's public transport.
Scott Ludlam, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Scott Ludlam is a Greens senator.